So Apollo 7 was the first to send three guys up, and how successful was that?
Well, I think it was very successful.
Very successful.
It was after an 11 or 12 day flight around the Earth, and that was basically to check the command module out to see if it worked perfectly, because things changed, as Frank can probably tell us, from an Earth orbital, which we were going to do on 9, was it 8? I guess we were 8.
Yeah.
And he was called back into a change of the whole flight.
Yeah, if Apollo 7, everyone talks about how critical this flight was or that flight. They were all critical.
Yeah.
If Apollo 7 hadn't been nearly perfect, we'd have never gone on to the moon.
That's right.
And if Apollo 8 hadn't been perfect, they'd have never gone on. So it was a very well-conceived, ambitious, and risk-taking schedule, but it was not a random selection.
Yeah. So Apollo 8, you're together with Bill Anders in Apollo 8, but your mission was changed. Why? What happened?
Lovell and I and Anders were out in Downey, California, working on the, we were Apollo 9. We were working on the command module, and I got a call from Slayton, Deke Slayton, our boss. He said, come back here right away, I want to talk to you. And I didn't understand why, because I was on the phone with him, but I got in the airplane, went back that same day, saw him in his office, and he said, we've got word that the Russians are going to try to launch a vehicle around the moon before Christmas. We're going to take Apollo 9, make it Apollo 8.
What month was this?
This was in August. And we're going to make it Apollo 8 and take the command module and service module alone to the moon. Do you want to do it? And I said, yes, we want to do it. And went back and told Jim and Bill, and they agreed it was a great idea.
There was a second reason, too. Grumman could not get the lunar module ready for a flight in 1968, which originally we were going to go with the lunar module around the Earth and test it all out. And so those two things, the knowledge that the what the Russians were going to do and the fact that we weren't going to have a lunar module anyway. And that was really a bold decision by NASA management.
It really was.
How challenging, you mentioned August, and you launched in December, right? December what, 23?
21.
Yeah. So how challenging was that?
Well, it was very challenging because we had to compress into 4 months what usually took 14 or 15 months of training to do. And I like the example of the flight plan meeting we had. Usually to develop a flight plan for these things, it took several weeks to get it all together, and you had inputs from a lot of people. Well, one afternoon, Chris Kraft with his people sat down and he invited me, and in 4 hours, we pounded out the flight plan for Apollo 8. To me, that was America at its best, and I was so impressed with Kraft and his people. It just all worked. There were no committees. There were no consultants. There was no anything except, how do we do this by December the 21st?
To what extent do you think we could do something like that today?
Now, are you kidding?
Yeah. So you're going to be the first humans to leave Earth's gravity. How much did that change the power of the rocket?
Well, it's the Saturn V, which was designed to go to the moon. So we knew we had that. There was two Saturn V's unmanned that were flown before. Both of them had problems to it. So here's another little thing that management had to be concerned with, you know, is can this third Saturn V that's going to be manned by Apollo 8, can that, are we sure it's going to work? But they took a chance on that. The booster people said, yeah, we fixed it all. We're confident that it could go. One of the things I had to do was, the one big change was the change of the navigation. So I went to MIT, to the Draper's Labs, to learn what the navigation system was that they were developing for going out to the moon rather than going around the Earth, and got that squared away. But I think everybody was confident by the time December 21st went around. I don't think there was any question of what we're going to do.
What was the feeling of the launch compared to your Gemini launches in terms of the rocket and the shaking and all of that?
Well, the Titan that we launched, that we used on Gemini 7 was a much faster G and a higher G buildup. The Saturn V was still the most powerful machine that's ever been made. And I think somewhere I can remember at launch, that thing was using fuel at the rate of about 12,000 gallons a second. It developed 7.5 million pounds of thrust. But it was a very noisy. That's the one aspect of the launch on the Saturn that I remember. The noise was so loud. It was other than that, you could almost say it was a very benign launch compared to Gemini.
No, the big Saturn V was an old man's rocket.
Yeah.
I think the maximum G loading was on the first stage as the fuel drain was diminished. And the upper stages, actually the way the trajectory was so performed, that it was actually a little bit less than 1G. So it was just kind of going up like this. So, you know, compared to Titan, which we sat on Gemini 7, it was a good rocket.
So when you went around the back of the moon and saw it for the first time, were there any surprises at what you saw? First people to see the back of the moon? At least
I don't think so, not really, because we had photography of the backside of the moon from unmanned spacecraft. So we could kind of look at it, but it's sort of awe-inspiring to me anyway. It's all gray, of course, no color. And of course, we were just 60 miles above it. It was the highlight of my space career. Is one of the first three people to see alive the far side of the moon. But as we progressed, and Frank and I and Bill all thought that looking back at the Earth was really the real discovery.
So when did you see the Earth for the first time? What was the circumstance? And that's the postage stamp, by the way, photograph, the blue marble. That was that they took that picture on Apollo 8. So when did you see it for the first time, and what was your reaction?
Well, I think all of us were impressed with what we saw because it was so small. Bill got the camera and got some color in it, took the picture, which was very, very fortunate that it turned out that the picture was perfect and brought back. And what Bill said, I think his one statement that I think was very, very impressive was the fact that we went to explore the moon and we discovered the Earth.
I agree with that.
The decision was made somewhere that you all were going to read from the book of Genesis Christmas Eve. Was that a long-term plan that came from the government?
We were in the middle of training. I got a call from NASA PR, and they said, well, you're going around the moon on Christmas Eve. You'll be a television program. You'll have the largest audience that's ever listened to a human voice. And I said, good, what's on the program? And they said, and this was another wonderful thing about America, that the only instructions that we got was do something appropriate. And that one, can you imagine that today? Jeez, unbelievable. And we asked friends, and finally a friend of a friend's wife came up with the idea of the first 10 verses.
Well, so you shared reading each of the three. Oh, we actually heard part of it, earlier.
I think it turned out appropriate, absolutely.
I don't think we could have had anything better than what we did.
Yeah.
Because the Old Testament is really the basis of the three basic religions, Islam and Judaism and Christianity.
Was there any pushback when you got back to Earth? Uh-oh.
We were sued.
What?
We were sued for combining government and religion
together. Oh, First Amendment?
Yeah. So when the three of us went to give a report to the combined all of Congress and the Supreme Court and everything, That was mentioned, and the Supreme Court said, don't worry about it, we'll take care of it. Couldn't ask for a better lawyer.
So Apollo 9 was a new step. What happened on 9? Well, what'd they test?
9 was we switched 9 to 8, and then McDivitt and his crew took over 9. That was another extremely critical mission because they exercised the lunar module and the command module in Earth orbit. They did a rendezvous, and that was absolutely essential to landing on the moon. Right. And then 10 did the same thing, but they did it around the moon. And then finally 11 landed.
So then we get to 13.
Yeah, we got to 13, and he's lucky to be here.
So what happened? Two days out, yeah.
Yeah, well, lots of things happened to 13. It was really a plagued by bad omens and bad luck from the very beginning. Damaged liquid oxygen tank was installed when the spacecraft was first being built. Not part of it was undetected. We had the crew was exposed to the measles just 4 days before the flight. We had to replace the prime command module pilot, Ken Manley, with Jack Swigert, who in the last month or so was really not training at all because his job was then to get the hotel rooms ready for all the people coming in, getting the parties all squared away, doing all that kind of mundane stuff. And finally, he's on the flight. So just a couple days before takeoff, we quickly got Jack together and Fred and I, and we did a couple of deals. But actually, we couldn't have picked a better person because Swigert was actually one of the people that developed the malfunction procedures for the command module. So if you had a problem with the command module, who would you want to be on board? And that was Swigert. So that turned out to be fine. You know, we lost an engine on the second stage on the takeoff before we got around the Earth, before we went to the moon. On the way out there, we got on a different course that had we lost the big maneuvering engine, which we did lose, we were on a trajectory that a long elliptical orbit that would take us out to the moon, but would only take us within 40,000 miles back of the Earth, which would mean if we couldn't get off that elliptical orbit, we'd be still probably orbiting to this day. And then on April 13th, the explosion occurred. And so from then on, it was from the third landing on the moon to how to get back. But let me mention that this could not have happened at a better time for NASA. You know, I was disappointed for years after not landing on the moon. That was the last thing I was going to do. But people in the United States and in the world got so complacent about our Apollo program. It looked so simple to everybody. Take off, people turn on the TV, there's be happy people floating in spacecraft going to the moon. And all of a sudden the explosion occurred and there was danger that this spacecraft would never get back home again. It brought the attention to everybody, but it also showed up the real leadership and the teamwork and initiative done by the mission control people back at NASA of taking the situation, finding out what we had to do, determining solutions to crises that came up all the time to finally work our way all the way around the moon and back home.